بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه من والاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. And welcome to this interview with another productive Muslim. Today we have one of the internet most beloved characters in the Muslim world. We have Baba Ali, who we prescribe as productive because he basically started using his time productively to give da'wah and using his skill and talent and his sort of character to give da'wah and really do something for the ummah. So Baba Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
JazakAllah khair for getting on this interview. So I'm going to start off by giving us a little brief about each of the different projects you started and sort of why you started them. Maybe one by one would be a good idea.
The first project that the whole thing started from was Baba Ali Games, where I started making board games, and that was interesting for me because one day one of my neighbors, which was a Muslim, knocked on my door and says, "Do you have any games? We have some friends over, we want to play some games." And I told him, I don't play board games, let me go look. And I looked in my closet and all I had was Monopoly. And when I went back to him and showed him, I told him I have Monopoly, he said, "Well, Dad, no, we're looking for something different." And as soon as I closed the door, an idea just went off in my head. That little light bulb turned on and said, maybe I should make a Muslim board game. So
the first project was the games, not the films?
Yeah, it was actually the game.
SubhanAllah. Okay, go on.
So I said, let me try making a game. So I started, first thing that popped in my head is, let me make another trivia game like everybody else.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a second. What's the point of making the same game that everybody else already has? Because every time you go to a conference and you see a Muslim game, they're always trivia games. There's nothing different. And I'm sure there's way more ideas out there, but we're always scared to take that risk. So I say, you know what? I am going to take that risk. I decided to do something completely different, and I made a game based on negotiating rather than based on trivia. And when I first tried to shop the game around, vendors used to tell me, well, we're not sure if this is going to sell or not because this is it's not trivia. I said, that's exactly why this is going to sell, because people are tired of trivia. They want something different. You can't just have Monopoly all the time. You have to have Scrabble and this and that. People like variety.
So anyway, let me ask you, did you have any experience with gaming? Was the first time you started your game?
I had no experience whatsoever.
So you just had an idea. Someone came up to you. They told you their problem. And you said, you know what? I'll do something about it.
Yes.
Brilliant. So what? I just want to go to that idea. So, and didn't you just say, well, someone else will bother doing this? So why did you feel that, A, you can do it, and B, that you were successful?
At the beginning, I'm not a game developer whatsoever. I've never been interested in making games. As I said, all I had was one game, and I didn't know if it was mine or not. The whole box was brand new. So I actually found it in my closet. Okay. So before I start any project, what I do is I do research, a lot of research, because just because I'm Muslim and I make a game doesn't necessarily mean the game's going to be actually fun or successful. Uh-huh. So I met this guy who has 300 board games. I mean, he retired from his job so we can play board games.
Wow.
So Islam says, seek knowledge from those who are knowledgeable. If you want to learn about board games, go to this guy.
Okay.
And so every day for 1 hour during lunchtime, I would spend time with him playing a new game.
Wow.
And I would watch these games. And he never played
games. I like that sort of research.
Yeah, it's crazy research. It was fun research. And it was fun. I got a chance to see all these weird games from Germany, from this country, from that country. And I saw my perception of board games completely changed, because none of these games you can buy from a normal store. He buys these from mom and pop stores.
Wow.
And long story short, I decided to make my game completely different. And that was my first game, called Mecca to Medina.
MashaAllah. How did that go?
Well, the issue with that is, like, the game, to make board games is not as easy as making other things. You have to make at least 2,500 of them. 2,500 or 5,000 of them. About 2,500, I think, was the limit at that time, minimum at that time. Mm-hmm. So the game was going to cost me close to, like, I think $18,000 to make or something like that. And I didn't have $18,000. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I took the game and I showed it to people and said, what do you guys think about this game? And usually the response was, can I invest in this? I was going to ask you what they thought about it. I didn't think you were going to invest in it, but quickly, seven people invested into the game. And I said, okay, if we sell, you guys make a profit. If we don't sell, you guys don't make the profit. We'll just give it a shot. Okay. And alhamdulillah, we sold the game out really quick. And these guys made a 24% return in their money. Mashallah. That's better than...
So I want to go back now. So you had, someone came with you a problem. You had an idea. You said, you know what, I'll pursue this. So you did some research and you said, yep, I could do this. You worked hard on it. And then you didn't have the money, but you still went ahead and sort of showing it to your friends. And then boom, the money came in and then, you know, you started publishing. So is that how you do most of your projects, or is it like different for every project?
Well, the basic way I do projects is I look at what people are doing, whatever, with that product or with that service. And then I ask myself, how can this be way better? Because if you're just going to open a restaurant just for the sake of opening a restaurant, why would it be successful? But if you see everyone's doing a business in a certain way, you have to come out and say, I think I can do it better by doing it this, and this way, and I will offer this service in a unique way, and I think that's why people will sign up with me or buy my product versus the next product. So that's my angle. I never come in and say, let me just open a kebab restaurant, and my kebab is going to taste just as the same as everybody else's, and my price will be just like everybody else's. What's the point?
Brilliant.
And I guess why a lot of people fail in their business ventures is because they try to do just like everybody else. The idea is to make it different and unique, and that's why it's going to pull people in.
But I want to track back a bit. Now, I mean, I presume you have a day job, right?
Yes, I do.
So you have a day job, and why would you pursue this venue? This whole business, all the risks and all the issues, the headaches, why would you pursue this venue?
You know, as crazy as it sounds, believe it or not, the money doesn't really inspire me. Mm-hmm. If it did, I would have made... I had 400 orders after the game sold out. 400, and I didn't fulfill any of them. Because my interest was... It's kind of like the way a guy who's a mountain climber. Mm-hmm. He sees a mountain, he's like, I want to climb that mountain. Okay. And if you climb the mountain, it becomes something that's fruitful and says it will pay you to keep climbing it. Nah, I don't want to climb anymore. As long as I climbed it once, it was fun. I don't want to do it for money. Just the fact of climbing is the part that interests me.
So is it the learning experience? Is it just the being active? What is it that drives you?
It's the challenge. It's the challenge of, can you take a product that's not, that the people don't like or it's not good, and to make it awesome, to make it amazing. And that, to me, is the inspiration.
Mashallah.
You know, when you watch the YouTube videos before, you know, when people generally did videos on YouTube when I used to watch them, because there was no Muslim video bloggers when I first started. I Googled them, I searched them for days, I couldn't find anyone. Mm-hmm. And when you watch non-Muslim, they're like, hi, today I'm doing my video, you want to watch me eat a sandwich? You know, I was like, what? Why did I watch this for 13 minutes? I was like, am I that bored with myself? I said, let me do this completely different. Instead of the guy sitting there in a static position, let's move around a little bit, you know? Let's make it short, quick sentences. Sometimes you go to Juma, and the talk will be like 1 hour long, and after the whole thing's done, your friend asks you, what was Juma about? And you summarize it in 3-4 minutes.
Really?
And I'm like, why don't we just have the summary? Why do we have to extend things for 1 hour long? The last clip of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you listen to it, is short, sweet, to the point, and has so much information in it. But today, sometimes you go to Jummah, you spend there an hour listening to the khutbah, and then you leave, and then you ask the next person next to you, what was the khutbah about? He's like, I have no idea.
Subhanallah, true. You're right.
Going out, just freestyling. It's like, did he didn't know? Maybe he just, you know, maybe they just give him, say, you're giving the khutbah in 5 seconds, you know? But every single week almost, come on.
Subhanallah. So is that how Star Ummah film started? Like the YouTube videos?
Yeah, that's the videos about Jummah. I mean...
summarizing Jummah khutbahs mainly? Or was it just mainly about... Or are you starting giving like different random topics and just making them sort of funny?
No, what happened was I hear the same issues over and over again. Almost every Jummah you go to, it's kind of like dhikr, it's Ramadan, Hajj, depending on what season it is, they basically recycle the same topics. And then I think to myself, what about the 1,000 other issues we have that no one wants to talk about? Mm-hmm. Like, we have all these people at a Juma that are men, but have you once heard of the issue of adab? Mm. No. Have you once heard about the issue of business transactions? These guys, 90% of them work anyways. What do they know regarding halal business transactions, what's allowed, what's not? We never talk about that. Well, there's some women in the other room. How about talking about men and women tips on how to keep a successful Muslim marriage? Mm-hmm. We never talk about that. But ask any imam, how many phone calls they get per week, or how many people they have walking in per week asking them about, oh, we're having my problems with me and my wife, we need to figure things out. Well, if you go to any website as a productive Muslim, you would know that they have an FAQ section for questions that constantly come up. Why? So they can reduce the number of emails that come in. Yeah. Just check the FAQs. Well, we should have your girlfriend to be like an FAQ section, like, hey, here's 100 questions I get during the week, let me answer your questions so you guys stop calling me.
MashaAllah.
And mom has studied 10 years of fiqh in the Middle East so he can come here and be a marriage counselor. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, many of them become marriage counselors. And this is funny. So I see vacuums. I see holes in certain things. And what I choose, I try to fill them up. And I get my share of critics because I'm filling it up.
So you know, people want to be in this. I was going to ask you about that. How do you, like, people say, okay, what are you doing? Maybe you're making the religion too funny, or, you know, you're bringing down the seriousness and sort of. So you took a different light. You took a different perspective of how to get da'wah, and you were able to reach, you know, millions of audiences. So, you know, as someone who normally, whenever someone's being productive, you will get, you know, criticism. That's a good sign, actually. It sounds you're working on the right track. But so how do you make sure that you do take constructive feedback? Someone maybe say something like, you know what, that's a good point, I'll take that point, and feed out the stuff which you don't want to, sort of just plain criticism. How do you do that?
The issue is, there's one thing that the Muslim Ummah has in abundance, and that's critics. Unfortunately, the lack of people doing things is the reason that, you know, we need websites like Productive Muslim, because we need more people doing stuff. We have so many chefs, but not enough cooks. We have so many chiefs, but not enough idiots. We have, you know, a lot of people, ask any masjid, that all these people come in and complain, but how many of those people are willing to do the work that is involved to make the difference? You know, we don't need complaints. We need people who are willing to do the work. So my thing on my website and my criticism is not necessarily, oh, why are you making it funny? Most of my criticism comes back saying, well, we don't like the fact that you're covering these topics. Mm. We want you should be covering the beard, the music, and the halal meat.
MashaAllah.
Why? Because everybody else is doing the same thing. And that's why specifically I don't cover those three topics or the main topics. Mm. I'm trying to cover the topics that I feel like people aren't talking about. Mm-hmm. And people don't like that, because this is taboo for them. We want you to talk about dhikr. We want you to talk about tawheed. And I feel like there's so many Muslims doing that. Why do we need 10 more people to do it? It's the same issue when I came back to the game. We want you to make another trivia game. Mm. Well, no. Well, if you don't do it, then we're going to go on YouTube and tell people. We're going to tell them. Come on. You know, you have all the negative comments and everywhere you want, but that has never changed my angle or my agenda of the videos and the topics I choose. Most people are going to hate anyways.
So how do you stay focused? Like, you know, just really stay focused. For example, you seem to be a guy who, you know, goes in for a project and gets out, goes in, gets out. So how do you just sort of sit down, focus, and not get distracted by the million other requests that come through or all sorts of things?
I tweeted about this before. I put a tweet up just recently, and my Twitter is twitter.com/omafilms. But in my Twitter, I put up, if you're trying to please everyone, that's how you fail. Mm-hmm. And if you only try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's how you'll succeed. Mm-hmm. If I cannot make everyone happy, no matter what route I choose. If I go this route, people are going to get angry. If I go this route, people are going to get angry. There's no way you can make everyone happy. So if your focus is on that, you're going to always fail, no matter what. But if your focus is on trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing things, even if it means you're doing a business, but try doing it in a halal way, then you're succeeding. No matter if you're not making a profit. Because you may not see the fruits of your efforts in this life, you'll see them in the hereafter. Sometimes, for example, last night for Isha, I was really tired and it was really late. So after praying Isha, I just wanted to pray witr and go to sleep. And then I thought to myself, should I pray sunnah or not? But I'm so tired. And then then the idea came back in my head and said, if I don't pray sunnah today, I'll never have this chance again to pray sunnah. So I will maybe on the day of judgment, which is also known as the day of regret, I may regret tonight that I didn't pray sunnah, because this sunnah would have made a big difference. Mm-hmm. Then I said, okay, let me pray sunnah.
That's a good way of putting.
This is the battle that constantly goes back and forth in my head. And like,
so actually, I like this idea of this self-talking yourself to action. Can you just maybe touch more about that? Like, because sometimes, because I see that even myself sometimes when, you know, especially, you know, when you want to wake up early and do some work, or you want to, you know, pray to Hajjud, so all these actions of being productive, or always said, you know, doing something that's different from other people, which is helping the ummah, but you know you get a lot of criticism. Sometimes you have to self-talk yourself, almost like self-coach yourself. So, you know, any tips on that?
Yeah, you know, the big thing is you have to constantly keep yourself in check. You know, at the beginning, you may start a project or start an idea and say, my intention's for this. But just because your intention starts with that from the beginning doesn't mean that your intention will stay that way until the end. So you have to constantly talk to yourself and check yourself and reevaluate why you're doing things, reevaluate what's my purpose. And that's one of the motivations of being productive. You know, we quickly will fall into the trap of sometimes getting lazy and not doing certain things because, you know, we give ourselves excuses. But at the same time, we're the same people who give excuses, but we're the same people that can motivate ourselves. You know, and that self-motivation has to be there if you want to continue, because you're going to be constantly, every time, especially if you try something new, you're going to be constantly thrown criticisms and thrown, you shouldn't be doing this, I don't like this, well, this, and you can't constantly listen to everything that everyone tells you, because if you do, as I said, you'll never succeed.
But
no matter what you have to do what you think is correct based on your understanding of Allah, understanding of Islam.
I was gonna ask, don't you get tired, or sometimes you feel like, you know what, I want to give up, I'm just khalas, you know, I'm just gonna go live
all the time.
Live a normal
all
life
time.
Live a normal, so
all the
so,
time.
So what keeps you going then?
I sometimes it's just I can get an email from one of the fans of the videos and says, don't listen to anybody, just do it. We even though a lot of the people or critics will say XYZ, some of us fans that are quiet doesn't mean that we believe in the same thing as well. Sometimes you get criticisms, but then you have other people who are on the same comment page defending you. Mm. And then, because some, you know, even the complainers, they're not that many. Even local Muslim communities, they're not that many. They're just only a handful, but they have the loudest voice. And then if you're listening to them, it can really impact your direction of what you're doing and make you give up. And then they want. You're not doing it for them. You're not doing it to satisfy them. You do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything will fall into place. You know, sometimes people ask me, Ali, you have 9 million video views, right? And then you have 40,000 plus subscribers. You need to put on Google ads and advertise them. You know how much money you'll make? And I tell the people, I said, listen, my intention for this was never about money. If I wanted money, I would have put Google ads and have an opportunity right now with all the views and everything. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give me rizq, He'll give it to me in other ways. And my other projects, which are like more business projects, like the games and the marriage projects and stuff like that, Allah will give it to me in that way. My YouTube specifically, my reminder series was specifically as reminders. And they're not even dawah. Which is another criticism I get. Brother, you should be doing dawah. This is not dawah. I'm like, brothers, this is nasiha. I know it's not dawah. We have plenty of people doing dawah. I even do dawah outside of the videos. Mm. But, you know, sometimes we need nasiha. Sometimes we need reminders, including myself. Like, every video I make, I'm actually, I see my reflection before I see anybody else's. I don't even see you guys. I see myself. So I'm really speaking to myself before anyone else. And,
I think the first video I watched was the with your your videos was the I think the cleanliness one, and I think I fell off my chair that day just laughing.
Yeah, you know, one thing everyone knows, but no one talks about. You know,
I'll admit it was just hilarious. I just fell off my chair laughing. I cannot remember. And I was like, man, subhanAllah. This is because what I liked most is the fact that you were very, very practical, very down to earth. And sometimes, again, this is what's missing. A lot of people talk and a lot of people do a lot of theory and do a lot of, like, you know, over the head statements, but no one goes nitty gritty. Like, you know, someone says, you know, dude, this is just not right, or this thing here just does not make sense. And that's the thing where you really were able to hit, alhamdulillah, on the nail with your da'wah, with your videos, with nasiha videos, mashallah. I was going to ask you about the next sort of project, the Half Hour Deen, is the marriage website. Now, you normally say, I look for vacuums and I do something. Now, someone argue there's like tons of marriage websites, Muslim marriage websites. So, you know, why Half Hour Deen?
Well, same idea as before, like with the same ideas. Why the reason I did the games and the reason I did the videos on YouTube, I see a vacuum. 9 years ago, I was looking to get married as well, and I couldn't go through my parents as a convert. So I decided to look in my local area, and there was no really marriage programs in my local area, and it was because of lack of Muslims. They're all spread out here in Los Angeles. So I decided to, let me do the unthinkable, and I went online. and I didn't know, like, the last thing I wanted to be is online, because especially, like, at that time I'm not even Bob Ali or anything, but especially I don't want my friends to see me online. Yeah. You know, hey, I didn't know you had romantic walks on the beach. I'd just be the ridicule of all my friends, and it's like, you know, have you gone to that point? And you know, I want to look, but I can't look. I was like, what am I supposed to do? So I said, I'd rather be married. It's worth being ridiculed with my friends and stuff. But I hated the process. Eventually, alhamdulillah, I found my wife, got married, everything. But the process sucked. Big time. Mm-hmm. And I said, one day I hope to come back with one of my projects and tackle this one, because I have a whole bunch of ideas of how to make this thing better. Well, next thing came was the games, and then Baba Ali thing came, and Ummah Films, and hooray for Baba Ali. All this stuff came, and then this project kind of set on the side. And one day I decided, let me go look at this project and give it another shot. And I basically wrote down everything I disliked about these guys. And the exact opposite. That was my strategy. I wanted to do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
So they're all public, and my biggest thing was, I'm going to make mine private. One time, for once, we're going to be able to go online, look to get married, and the entire world, which includes every uncle and every auntie, doesn't need to know about it. Only people who are looking to get married. So I even disabled same gender searches. So if you're a guy, you can't do a search to see which other guys on the website.
Okay.
I never understood what the point of that was.
That's scary.
Why do we have same gender searches? Why are we doing? Why do we allow it? Especially for sisters, because you know it's they don't want every other sister to be, oh, look at that. I didn't know she's on it. I didn't know she's like, oh, I you know, they don't want that. They want to be able to look online, to look to people who are potentially looking to get married, and do it privately. So, you know, even though my idea sounds like a cool idea on paper, when you actually apply it, it's good for the members, but it's hard for me. Because how am I supposed to advertise something that you can't see? Like, hey, come look at this box! What's inside? I can't tell you.
SubhanAllah.
At the same time, that's the reason that most of our members have joined Half Our Deen, because you can't see what's inside the box, because they could be inside the box without the whole world knowing. And we actually sent a survey to our members about a week ago, and the number one reason they said is they joined Half Our Deen was because of privacy. The number two was because it's affordable, because we're 1/4 the price of everybody else.
MashaAllah.
So
MashaAllah.
I mean,
even though the idea that when Muslim marriage websites are quite common, but you actually were able to find a niche and be able to really tackle what the market needs, basically. You said something about, you know, you had this idea, you had this project, and you put it on the shelf, and then you sort of picked up again. How do you manage your projects? Do you just, like, write them down somewhere, and then you come back to, or do you have a file for them? Or how do you, like, just practically for the practicing Muslim, sort of?
Believe it or not, my file system is sitting in my head.
MashaAllah. It's
a lot of this stuff. You know, if one of my videos I explained, I said, if you're married, you may have experienced this. One day you may wake up, and your wife is angry at you. And you're like, why are you angry? You were in a good mood yesterday. And she'll start off with the conversation with, remember 6 months ago on one day you said this, this, and this? I'm like, no. Well, I do. And today I'm angry about it. I'm like, what? I can't remember this. And then I share the story with friends, and they're like, yeah, that happened to me too. That happens to me too. So that story is connected to an emotion. Mm-hmm. And that, because a woman can connect their memories to emotions, they don't forget as easily as men. Mm-hmm. So when a lot of my ideas are connected to something that I feel passionate about. Like when I felt like, okay, brothers are all over, but we have nothing to do except for PS3 and Xbox. Why can't we come up with something unique for the brothers to do when they're hanging out?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the game idea came. And I felt very passionate about many of the issues I feel that on Jummah we are not talking about, or we as a Muslim community in general are not talking about. I felt very passionate about it, and that's why I spent countless hours They all sometimes take about 20 hours just to make one video because of editing, filming. It's only one person. And all the issues you come up with, lighting and stuff like that. But I did them. I did nearly 45 videos so far. And then now I feel so passionate about this whole marriage issue. You know, I travel a lot. And people find me on this on my website for touring. It's Ali Stand Up. And they invite me to come and give talks and to their colleges or fundraisers or whatever. And then I go there, and when I'm there, I hang out with people, including the imams and the sheikhs and all these people. And the number one thing I've been hearing is people are getting divorced or people can't get married. Hmm. So I'm like, what if I start a project to try to help people get married and stay married? And that's why the videos I feel passionate about, even though I get criticisms about it, I made 12 videos about what to expect when you get married. Because no one talks about it. Nobody. No one tells you this is how marriage life is going to be like and this is what you should expect. But we live in a little bubble and a lot of people have these preconceptions about what marriage is going to be, and 2 years down the line we end up getting divorced because it's not what we thought it was going to be. And now we have a whole big Muslim community of, I'm sure you know a lot of people divorced. I personally know about 14 people who have been divorced. I mean, and the list keeps growing. We need to stop it and at least lessen it. Why do our parents last for 20, 30 years, but we barely last for two? Mm. See, and that goes back to the story. You feel passionate about something. And when you feel passionate about something, you want to work for it. If you're just becomes like, hey, you know what? I just want to make a game just for the sake of making it. It's only going to last a day or two, and the next day you're going to lose all your inspiration. But if you're passionate about something, you'll work for it because you want to see a difference. And that's what inspired me.
So basically, it's your secret ingredient, if I could say that, for all your sort of productive ventures is just your passion. Your passion drives your productivity. Is that it?
Yes.
MashaAllah.
And then, interesting enough, you start pulling in people who have the same passion you do.
Your passion becomes a magnet for people. True. That's true.
Yeah, you know, and then negative people will pull in negative people. You ever notice a bunch of negative people sitting next to each other? Yeah, you know what? Life sucks. Yeah, it sucks. I'm like, I need to get out of this little group over here. I've been around people who actually have some positive mentality. Like, you know what? We're having this issue. Don't worry, man. It's going to work out. Yeah, it's going to work out. And when you're around those kind of people, that will drives you and pushes you further, you know? And you were asking a question earlier regarding like, oh, your criticisms or if you have this, what keeps you going? Is the people you work with makes a big, big difference. I'm very selective of who I work with for our projects.
I was going to ask you this question. Sometimes, you know, do you have a team that works with you, or do you like work with you independently, or do you do most of the stuff?
So I'll give you an example. On the Half Ardeen project, even though we charge $5 a month, which is nothing, we still try to take that money and put it back into helping not just the members and making a better website, but more importantly, we also try to help other Muslims who are going to work for these members. So I said maybe this Half Ardeen project helps employ Muslims who are not working or they need extra money. Mm-hmm. So we have three people on customer service that are answering emails and things 24 hours a day. We have two programmers currently right now. We're hiring a third. And then we have a person helping us marketing to help continuously bring new members in. And then you have myself, and you know, you have different people. It's almost a staff of 9 people.
Mashallah.
And in this, I think, wow, for 9 people, I can have 7 people under us trying to help us. We generate revenue, and this money that comes in from membership money, it goes towards their paying their efforts and to keep making the website better. And you know, that it almost kind of like, you know, how they do small businesses. Your productivity helps other people become productive as well. It opens doors.
True.
And that's why a lot of governments, they like to help small businesses start, because you let one guy start a small business and he employs 10 other people. And we've only been running since just a few months. Mm. Alhamdulillah, we have over 1,100 members on Half Ardeen, and we have about a team of 7 people. As we're growing, I continue to hire more and more people to work for Half Ardeen. That way, they generate some income, and halal income, inshallah. Our membership people will be able to get married, and that's going to be awesome. And then I try to work on videos to help people stay married, and that's priceless for me. That's, it's like a whole package.
Yeah, mashallah. May Allah bless you and give you all success, inshallah. I was going to ask, so do you get involved in the management of people, or do you just, you know, sort of go with the flow?
What do you mean?
Like, some people take does Baba Ali get involved in day to day management, or he just sets a direction, just walks out, and lets the guys do their job?
Well, what I do is I give us, everyone gets assignments.
Okay.
So your job is to do this. Your job is to do this and this. And if anything comes up, contact me. Let me know. Like, my biggest thing right now is to make sure I'm in contact with my members, for example. Mm-hmm. So make sure, like, many of the member emails, I personally email them back myself. Mashallah. You know, that's a problem when you have 100,000 members. You lose your connection with them. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, one of my first businesses I started was a marketing business back when I was about 19 years old.
Mashallah.
And alhamdulillah, just the first day that my door opened, it was an offline business. The first day that my door opened, I made about over $300 in the first day, which wasn't bad for a 19-year-old kid trying his first marketing company. Mm. And what happened was this company grew so quickly that I had to shut it down.
Why?
Isn't that crazy? I accepted too much work and too much customers until I couldn't handle it anymore. I couldn't. There's no way that a human being can function. You know, I was doing distribution of advertisements, and they were doing by hand. Mm. And first it was just by the 1,000, the 2,000, 3,000. Eventually, I started getting customers that wanted 2.1 million. I'm like, what? I can't even think how many 2.1 million advertisements, adverts. And this wasn't online, like just the email. You had to go do these one by one by hand. And this was just one customer.
MashaAllah.
It was insane, and we had to shut down the business because we had too much customers.
But don't you think that you could leverage people? Could you leverage like you know how sometimes it seems like, you know, you grow and you get to a point where you almost have to change the way you've been doing things in order to grow more. So it's almost like we have a saying, Productive Muslim saying, sometimes the dream becomes bigger than the dreamer. So, you know, you've been running things for in a certain way for a long time. There comes a point where if you want to continue this, you want to continue to grow, continue to be productive, you have to really change completely your orientation. Is that something that, you know, that you've experienced? Or?
Yeah, I mean, and that was a learning lesson for me. Every project, no matter if it fails or succeeds, has always become a learning lesson for me. Mm-hmm. That you can't grow too quickly. Even if you're tempted because you want that success, but you don't, you grow too quickly, you're gonna end up in failure, which sounds crazy until you actually experience it. And you say, no, I'll figure it out. Let me just pull in as many people as I can and I'll figure out the rest later. Mm. And then you quickly one day wake up and you have thousands of people that you can't manage. So that's why we have a staff of 7 people and we only have like 1,100 something members. Mm. Because we wanna make sure we're connected with them. If they have a problem, we can hear them. If they have an idea, hey Ali, I think your website, if it has this, it'll be better. You know what? That's a great idea. We're going to get our programmer to work on that. Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah, we're going to get our programmer to work on that. So it becomes, but if I had 100,000 members or 500,000 members or even 1 million members and they email me, can you imagine? Like, I have 1,400 emails in the last 12 minutes. Who's going to answer that? I don't, you know, it's crazy. Yeah. They'll lose their connection with me. And that's not the point of the whole project. If it was money, I would charge twice as much as I'm charging now, and I'll still be half of the price of my competition.
True.
But it's not the money. It's the other things that really, really inspire
service.
Me.
So now you just mentioned about the emails. I mean, part of people go crazy, you know, trying to be productive is emails. Is there a Baba Ali recipe for managing emails?
Well, we used to hire people, and they used to quit. Every person we've hired to handle my emails, and we've hired groups of people, every single person has quit. Every single person.
Is that bad?
So yes, it's that bad.
No, if you try, what sort of techniques or any method you adopted to manage? First of all, how many emails do you get per day, like roughly?
I honestly don't know. I have one inbox has 13,000 emails.
MashaAllah.
Unread.
No, these are how many actionable unread emails? Forget the junk or the fans one, like actionable ones.
I can't even tell you. There's so many already. I'm scared to open the inbox. I have like one person looked at my. I actually went on my blog about a year ago and I posted. I'm filing Facebook bankruptcy. I just made up the term. And that was just based on friend requests. It was slowing down my inbox every time I opened up Facebook so much that it was hard to use Facebook.
SubhanAllah.
it was like 4,200. The numbers will constantly come in thousands by the thousands of Facebook requests, and Facebook lets you only have 5,000 friends. They actually contacted me thinking I'm a spammer. Why do you have so many friends?
I think the Mark, what's his name, the founder, got a bit jealous. He's like,
on YouTube, yeah. On YouTube, it's funny. He's like, 9 million, imagine you have 9 million video views. Imagine how many emails come with 9 million video views.
Just a bit.
Can you imagine? Actually, I can't even open them.
Subhanallah.
You can't even open them. It's just crazy. I don't really open them. Once a month, just out of curiosity, I just pick a random email. It's kind of like winning the lottery. It's like, okay, let me just pick a random email and see what this list says. But that's it. You know, it's crazy. You know what? I never really had ambition to become a Muslim celebrity or internet celebrity, whatever you call it. Mm. My goal was never this. My goal was to go in and talk about the issues that no one wants to talk about. And because I knew going in, I'm going to be the bad guy, I was like holding my breath. Okay, here comes everyone yelling at me. What? And then for whatever reason, all these people love the topics. And I was, honestly, that was the one that shocked me the most. Mm. Because I was prepared for the worst. But I was actually very surprised when people actually supported the topics I spoke about. I mean, today I launched this a new video on YouTube, and this video talks about some of the stuff I see Muslim businesses doing that are not, well, you see, I'm doing the matchmaking thing right now, so now my world is about matchmaking. So I see a common thing that Muslim businesses are doing, and I'm like, I can't do this because it's, for me, I feel it's deceiving. But it's interesting how many people have been tricked because of this tactic, including myself. 9 years ago, I was tricked as well. Mm-hmm. I fell for the same tactic. So I'm going to talk about the tactic and talk about how Hafardeen is different. Because I'm talking about this tactic, you'll be surprised at how many people are going to come up and post, brother, you cannot talk about this. You're only supposed to talk about dhikr, prayer, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And if I do that, I don't feel I'd be productive.
True. So the way you... I guess when I asked the question about the how you manage your emails, basically, although you don't manage your emails because they're just over and above your capacity, you actually focus on just, you know, focus on what got those emails in the first place. So, you know, what you really focus on, making sure that you continue delivering content, continue being Baba Ali, continue to talk about the issues that, you know, no one's talking about, and just, you know, giving people the best sort of service they have. I guess that's probably the best you could do in terms of, you know, trying to manage this, you know, huge influx of people coming, sort of talking to you. Now, mashallah, exactly. That was...
I feel like the people close to me, if I'm doing something wrong, they'll come and tell me, Ali, so, you know, you're doing this wrong. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have an ego, so I actually do analyze it and see what am I doing wrong and should I change or not change it. You know, I don't just ignore when people give me criticisms. On the internet, It's if you sit there and listen and just read and constantly listen to everything and anyone that says good or bad, you're going to quickly realize that 10% of the people are going to love you no matter what you say, 10% of people are going to hate you no matter what they say, what you say, and the 80% in the middle is what you should really care about, because those are the people who are going to tell you like it is. When you're bad, you're bad. When you're good, you're good.
Exactly.
So, and that's who you, that's how I listen to, take constructive criticism, and then you use that to make the, do the change. You know, some people will say, you know what, I'm tired of watching your videos. You need to add special effects. Well, honestly, guess what? Go watch the video. The exit button is right there. That's my mentality. Like, if you watch the first video, which is in 2006, June 13th, 2006, watch today, which is basically almost 4 years later. It's the same guy sitting in the same looking chair, the same room, talking about just another topic. No special effect. It's the same technique, he just moved. Sometimes it's the simplicity of things that makes a difference.
Also, and the consistency, the fact that you're consistent.
I'm not even a talent. I'm just a guy who is, my topics are just topics I think others should talk about as well. I'm not trying to say only Baba Ali can do this. I think anyone can do this almost. Just all you have to do is get a video camera and then talk about issues that you're passionate about. Get people to start talking about these issues. And sometimes it just needs one person to make a trigger effect, and you have all these other people who are going to do something about it.
Is there a story behind the name Baba Ali?
My kids call me Baba, my wife calls me Ali. Baba Ali.
Okay, mashallah. I was hoping some kind of, you know.
You're looking for a tear jerking.
Yeah, come on, man.
sorry, there is no sad parts. Bob Ali. I did an easy need to put on my games, basically, and that's where the name Bob Ali came from. It was before Bob Ali was on the internet.
Yeah.
It was when I was making games. So if you have one of my old games, it'll say Bob Ali games.
Mashallah. So now we sort of turn to sort of giving advice to the young Muslims. A lot of our fans are 18, 24-year-old, you know, they maybe starting university, they're thinking of ideas. Some of them, mashallah, they, you know, they really feel passionate about topics and they want to do something, but there's a thousand one thing reasons why either they don't want to, either procrastination, either, you know, criticism, either money, either, you know, they don't know expertise, whatever. So how, you know, what's your advice to our productive Muslim fan?
Well, first of all, you sometimes doing things by yourself is very difficult. If you don't know something, you try to learn it. Sometimes it's like, okay, I don't know how to make a website. Let me learn programming. Well, that's not going to work either. In some circumstances, you can try to learn. In some circumstances, you want to try to outsource to get that. Like with all my projects, I didn't sit there and do everything myself. As I said earlier, I had a team of people. And I used different people, the different teams to learn. Different people within the team to learn from them. So there's great tools on the internet to help you. For example, let's say you're looking for someone to do work for you, like everything from writing something or designing something, anything. You can go on this website called Elance.com, and then over there you just pitch the idea of what you want to do, and then people will bid on how much they will charge you to do it. So that was a great tool. I use that a lot for many of my projects. Then you use, for marketing, you can use different things. Like one of the companies I use, which is a good Muslim brother who runs it, is called Halal Buzz. He goes around and tells people about your product and tells people about what you've made. Because sometimes you have this great product, but no one really knows about it. So that website is halalbuzz.com. And then I use other websites because that's where everyone is, like YouTube and Facebook and stuff like that. Not necessarily because I'm a fan of these websites, but I think that's where people are watching videos and it's where people are communicating. So let me use these tools as well. And at the very end, it's you. You're the one that came up with the idea. You're the one that has to find the team to follow you and believe in your product as much as you believe in it. If they don't, then you're gonna get people who are gonna be like wishy-washy. You know, there's this one thing that a rule that I have for all my new projects, including Half Our Deen, and that is no volunteers. I do not accept any volunteer working as part of the staff of Half Our Deen. And the reason I don't do that is because with volunteers you can't hold them accountable, and you give volunteer quality. We have this persist for some reason. Have you heard of, you know, when people say, brother, you know, fisibillah is what they're really saying?
Fisibillah.
They're saying the word free. Because they're using that as a ticket, that card, as a ticket to say, oh, I want you to do for free. But if you pay a non-Muslim approaches, you'll no problem paying them. But with our Muslim brothers and sisters, we expect everything to be free. But we don't live in Jannah, so we have expenses to pay. And if you are just trying to pull people in just for them to do free work for you, you're only going to go so far. So even if you have to pay them a minimum, whatever they're content with, pay them something. Pay them something they're happy with. And then, amazing enough, you'll be surprised at how much difference in productivity you get from them. If they're only working for free for you, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, bro, you know my friend? Yeah, he's coming over today, we're going to play video games, so I can't really help you today. Imagine you're so passionate about something, and this guy's playing video games. You don't want that. He has a vested interest in you. He has a vested interest in your project. Now, you're passionate about it, but it's because of your project, but sometimes people are just there to help you and leave. They may be there temporarily, so you need something as an incentive to push them. So yes, you have all these different tools like I mentioned earlier, but you want to bring in a good group of people and make sure you take care of them. And guess what? If you take care of them, they will take care of you.
MashaAllah, Bab Ali, that was a wonderful, wonderful piece of advice. And I think I'm sure our Production Muslim fans will learn a lot from that, and if they apply even half of some of those advice. JazakAllah khair, Ali, for this wonderful interview, and I appreciate your time. And inshallah, we wish you all the success and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all your time, bless all your and everything that you've put in to just help raise the issues and help to, you know, help the Muslim ummah in any way you can. You've used your talent, you've used the time, you've basically been productive to put things together. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you that way
and continue and blesses you with all your effort and bless you, inshallah, with acceptance for all that you do. JazakAllah khair, brother.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.